Blog Talk Radio.
In the midnight hour. My name is Joseph Duncan, and this is Vendetta Pro Radio. Our live call-in number, area code 646-929-2066. Hit us up. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Vendetta Pro. I will be personally tweeting live during our broadcast. Joining me on the broadcast, of course, is my co-host and former two-time Vendetta Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, Billy Blade. Billy, what is going on?
What's up, Vendetta Pro audience? Nothing's going on. It's Wednesday. It's Happy Hump Day. You know what that means. The Rock of Love is definitely full of action.
And also
and
joining us, huh?
And satisfaction. But anyway.
Oh, of course. Joining us also on the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, he just recently returned to Vendetta Pro Wrestling. After competing in WWE NXT, and he is the 2014 Roland Alexander Memorial California Cup winner, a former APW Universal Heavyweight Champion. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to Vendetta Pro Radio, the War Pig, Jody Christofferson.
What's going on, boss? Thanks for having me on Vendetta Pro Radio. What's going on,
Jody? Glad to have you.
What up, Jody? How's everything?
You know, same old thing, different day, boss.
Obviously. Yeah, we're going to – tonight was a big night for NXT. What's your thoughts? Were you able to watch tonight?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, as always, NXT comes and brings it, you know. I mean, a little surprised on the outcome, you know, but, you know, you never know what to expect with NXT. I mean,
yeah, for sure. A lot of audience members might not remember this, but Jody, Jody Christofferson was on Vendetta Pro Wrestling's very, very first show, July 11th, 2009. So, Jody definitely comes, you know, he represents Vendetta from day one. And we are very honored to have you on our shows. And I think, Jody, if you remember right, from the very beginning, I told you, man, just keep doing what you're doing and you'll go big places. And on it, obviously, you did, and that's an awesome thing, you know, and I'm very proud of you and call you one of my friends, you know.
Hey, likewise. You know, I was happy to start out at Vendetta Pro, and I'm happy to be working for you guys again. And
yeah,
like you said, yeah, I have been to the dance. You know, I've been on NXT, had the pleasure of working with some of the greater guys up there, you know, like Corey Graves and also Cassius Ohno, a.k.a. Chris Hero, and you know, it was a lifetime experience, you know, and even when I got let go, all my coaches, you know, gave me a call the next day, said, we didn't know you were getting let go, you know, it was an office call, and don't count out, you know, not coming back here. So that's a very encouraging thing to have the pros tell you, especially guys like Norman Smiley, you know, and Bill DeMont, Billy Gunn. So,
oh, for sure. I remember I was in Georgia for Deep South, and Bill DeMont was a teacher then. And let me tell you, man, just being in his classes a couple times, you know, a few times, he is an intense trainer, and he's really, really good to you, but you better not mess with him because he'll mess with, you know, he'll get you, you know? I mean, am I right in that?
No, you're right. You know, it's funny. A lot of people have a lot of different opinions about Bill DeMont. That he's badass. There's no question about that, you know, and he trains you really hard, runs you into the ground. But he's the head coach for a reason, you know. I mean, he does the job nobody else wants to do. There's a lot of headaches with coming to being the head coach, and he does a good job at what he does.
Yeah, no, definitely. Bill DeMont was I like Bill. A lot of people I heard bad and good, you know, of course you always do. But, I mean, he's not in it to be your friend. He's in it to build the next superstars for WWE, and that's the bottom line.
No, exactly, you know? And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with the military, you know. They're not there to be your buddies. They're there to train you for war. And it's the same thing in NXT.
For sure. Hey, Joseph, do you have any comments?
Well, and you were talking about how you were at the quote, big dance, but you've done some pretty big things since then. I mean, that tour of, I believe it was WWN, that tour of Japan, not Japan, China.
China,
That tour of China, I mean, I was looking at some of the houses over there, and those are some pretty big houses you guys are working.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, you know, I mean, I loved working at NXT, and I was bummed to get let go, but, you know, it was almost kind of like a blessing in disguise, because when you're dancing with the top talent up there, you know, your confidence starts to break a little bit, and... or at least mine did anyway, but I'm starting to get that confidence back. And when I got let go and I got the opportunity to go to China, I've just been hearing all over how my work's got better, you know, and just my whole work ethic has gotten better. And we killed it over there in China, you know. I mean, Tim Thatcher was on the tour as well. And that guy is tough as nails, and I mean, Billy knows it more than anybody. But, like, when we first got in there, that was the first guy I fought on that tour, and we were there in front of thousands of people, and they just ate it up because Tim and me know each other pretty well in the ring, and we just started beating the crap out of each other right off the bat, and place started going nuts. So it was definitely a lifetime experience. But I was happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, we got to work with I can't remember the name of We worked with Dragon Gate USA, which is, I think, the affiliate of the WGN, if I'm right. Joseph, right?
Yes, Dragon Gate USA, and that was January 2013.
Yeah, so we got to work with them, a joint show with Vendetta, so they were actually real pleasure to work with. The fans over there in China, and like I was privileged to wrestle in Japan, and with Nathan Rules, of all people, if you remember Nate.
Yeah, of course.
And
I forget. Come on, man.
Yeah. No, of course. I know. I was just kidding with you. Yeah, we were in Japan, and man, the fans. We were so great. We were so disappointed until we figured that out. That I don't know if China. Maybe you can tell me if China was different, but in Japan, we went out there first. I'm not sure if you were in APW then, but I think you were. You were training. Maybe you remember Agent Cougar.
Yep.
So we were wrestling. It was me and Nathan. We teamed up for the first time, and I went from a vampire to, like, a beach character. And it was me and Nate against Agent Cougar and his student. I forgot his name at this point, but Agent Cougar is nuts. And I remember one of the spots we were on the top of the bleachers, and I super kicked him off the bleacher. We flew, you know, 20 steps down onto some chairs on the bottom of the bleachers. But the point I was making is like, they were cheering, but they weren't standing up like American fans where they clap and go crazy. They were clapping, but they weren't like reacting like I was used to. So I was like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, were they like that in China?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a very proud, you know, audience. I mean, they're very stoic when it came to, you know, being entertained. And they were just sitting there. And at first, you know, I didn't know what to think about it. But you can imagine how surprised I was when I came out there. And like I said, when Tim and me just started going at it, started beating each other down, the place went nuts. And
yeah.
I was kind of humbled and surprised at the same time to get that reaction out of them. Because it's like you said, you know, they're very stern, you know, very, you know, just focused on watching. It's kind of like, you know, they're watching a game of tennis or something. They're very quiet at first, but when
yeah,
we hit
I mean,
that ring and they just went nuts, it was definitely enough for me.
Yeah, Timothy, that's too. I mean, oh, go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
Yeah, the description I've always heard of them was that they're a very respectful crowd. And that's, you know, that's good in a lot of ways, but when you're going over there for the first time, and myself have not been to Japan in wrestling. I have been to Japan outside of wrestling, but you know, everybody that I've heard that's gone over there, they said the crowd's very respectful, and it's kind of jarring almost to an American audience because you're used to hearing that respect in the form of, you know, chants and noise and everything like that, and you know, they're you know, they'll give you applause, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. I remember back in the day, you know, with Japan and where, you know, when we were there and you said you did China and all that, like, the one thing, Joseph said, they're very respectful. They're very, very humble people. Like, they're, like, so respectful to fans. They will not, you know, they really, truly believe pro wrestling is one of the bigger sports in their eyes. And that's why, like, New Japan and all that are do really well. So, you know. Now, let me ask you, Jody. Obviously, I mean, this is a thing I just keep – I want people to know because, like, one of the things that I think you – one of the things that I believe that you let me put it the right way. I'm trying to come up with the right way. I personally – I've told you this many times. You're one of the most humble guys in the locker room. And – you know, you were taught by, and we'll go your history, where you're from. You know, I know where you're from. Joseph knows where you're from, but maybe not all the fans know where you started out at. And the humbleness is very, very, I love it, the fact, because you come in the locker room knowing that you've been in NXT and you don't have an attitude. You basically, you know, you're humble. You appreciate the opportunities that are given to you. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there nowadays that have these egos, you know, and they think that, you know, you give them an opportunity to pro wrestle, and then they take it and then say, screw you, you're my trainer, you were this, I'll screw you, you know? So can you give the fans the history of where you came from and maybe talk about a little bit about the way you were brought up, like, you know, being humble in the locker room, maybe shaking hands with everybody, you know, respecting your trainers, I mean, maybe if you don't mind?
Well, of course. You know,
and how important
that
is, you know?
It's like you said, you know, I was brought up originally by APW, you know, and Roland Alexander was the one who originally recruited me. And I also spent time training, you know, with Gangrel and Kishi and Black Pearl at Mox Pro after that. But, yeah, for the majority of my training, I was at APW. And my original trainer was Joseph Rodriguez, a.k.a. Jekyll's Jester. And he always taught me, you know, just go in there, you know, do what you do, beat the crap out of people, you know, and don't bitch, but most of all, just be respectful, you know. And I know you know this, Billy, but, you know, Jekyll's is out there, but he's one of the more respectful guys in the locker room as well, you know. I mean, keeps to himself, basically doesn't blow a lot of smoke. And this is a guy, in my opinion, that could have an ego if he wanted to, because he's responsible for putting out more talent, you know, on the indies than a lot of people. And he is always putting out solid talent at his camps. You know, he trains a lot of good people. And I'll always be grateful for that, because it wasn't just him. It was also, you know, Robert Thompson, J.J. Perez, all these guys who had legit old school attitudes that were just like, you know, be humble, be respectful when you go in the locker room, you know, keep your mouth shut and your eyes open, your ears open, absorb like a sponge, and just be courteous, you know. I mean, a lot of people, you know, overthink it, but just, like, the way I've always gone about it is I wouldn't treat people the way I wouldn't want to be treated. And whenever I step in a locker room, I'm always the first person to shake their hand. I'm always the first person to ask if you need help with, you know, setting up the ring. And that's another thing a lot of people don't realize is you never stop paying your dues. I mean, even at NXT, Norman Smiley said that he's still learning. And this guy's a veteran, you know. I mean, he's been doing it for years. And he said, if I'm still learning, you motherfuckers don't know shit, you know, pardon my language. But,
no.
You know, and that's the thing is that I'll always be grateful to Norman for that and the guys like Joseph and just, you know, for teaching me, you know, to be humble and to be respectful. And that's why I always carry that wherever I go. And I'm just grateful to still be doing what I love, you know, and that's why I act the way I act. Because you got to love this if you're doing it. Because there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of dedication you got to put into it.
Well, and I agree. And I definitely, you know me, I've paid my dues. I mean, we've been doing this a long time. And you know, and I, you know, you talked about two of the biggest schools in California. I agree with you. You know, APW. You know, I started with Jesse Hernandez, which I believe is one of the top schools in California. Actually, it's one of the original schools. And then APW was right there with Jesse Hernandez at the time. And then, of course, the Gangrel, Black Pearl, and Rikishi school is one of the top schools, and they're producing a lot of talent, like Miro, you know, Russoff, and, you know, of course, a couple other guys. You know, but the thing about it is like, APW, a lot of people don't realize that, like, APW has been around for 15 years, 20 years almost, you know?
Oh, I know.
And, Jekyll, he's been around for a while now, and you're 100% correct. I want to put that over. Jekyll comes to our gym shows once a month. He brings a bunch of guys. He, you know, he's still paying dues. You never stop paying dues. And I think when people start getting, you know, they start getting a little bit of name value or something like that, they forget that, whoa, you know what? The person you're stepping on the way up is the person you pass on the way back down, you know,
Exactly.
We've come across a lot of people like that. Norman Smiley was awesome, man. That guy, I've heard so much good stuff about. I've actually never met the guy, but I've heard from many, many people. He's one of the best trainers out there, and, you know. So, but APW wanted to touch bases because, you know, obviously we only have about a 45-minute show, so hopefully we can get through everything. But, like, APW, obviously that's where I came from. That's where Joseph started watching APW and Bakersfield, right, Joseph?
APW was one of the original places. I had actually originally made contact with them in 2004, excuse me. And took a little time because I was doing different things. I was going to school, everything like that. But you know, eventually started working and volunteered for several years with APW, just doing anything from, you know, public relations, sending out press releases, anything like that. Often I wasn't even able to actually attend the shows because, you know, again, I had school or I had different things going on. But, you know, I would have regular conversations with Roland and, you know, and the guys up there. Roland actually paid for me a bus ticket to go up there when we had a Jim Ward show, and then we had a show, I believe, in Santa Rosa, and you know, just getting to go up there and you know, hang out with everybody, and you know, that's one of the things where, you know, sometimes even if you're not in the ring, if you're just on the outside of the ring, you're doing whatever. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you're paying dues even in a different way. You might volunteer for years. You know, I never once, you know, probably the first time I'm ever going to state this publicly, but outside of that bus ticket, I never received a dime from APW. And I'm okay with that because I received a lot of knowledge on the way. And to me, that's a treasure in itself. And just getting to getting to know and learn from Roland, you know, that was a time that myself, I really treasured that, and I'm really thankful to been able to do that.
Same here.
For sure.
You know,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, Roland was the fountain of knowledge, you know, there's no question about that. And
yeah.
I just want to credit, too, you know, I mean, yes, like I said, the original schools I was at, you know, where I was brought up was APW, Knox Pro. But also what I loved about APW is that they allowed us to work at different promotions. You know, some schools want you to only, you know, work at their promotion, and that's understandable. But, you know, I was able to work at places like Vendetta Pro, like PCW, you know, Supreme Championship Wrestling, the, you know, Reno Wrestle Factory. The list goes on, you know. And these are a lot of good promotions that the students can benefit, you know, from working at. And that's one thing I want to say to any fan or anybody who's listening right now, interested in being a professional wrestler, is work as many places as you can, because that experience will take you a long way.
For sure. Also, you know, I was, you know, obviously the whole world, I mean, the whole wrestling world was devastated by Roland's passing. And
yeah,
I was lucky, you know, in APW, I never won a singles title the whole time I was there until, like, I think I can't remember the exact day he passed away, but I know I finally won the internet title in front of him. I was able to defeat Drake Younger, and Roland was there, and it was one of the proudest moments, you know. I mean, he came up to me and hugged me and gave me, you know, told me he loves me, and that he's very proud that I finally was able to win, you know, a championship for APW, you know. And that's always going to stick with me, you know, because I was, you know, having Roland come up to me, you know, because me and Roland, we haven't seen eye to eye on every single thing, you know what I mean? I was more of an entertainer type wrestler, and he was more into the wrestler type wrestlers, you know. But but he was, you know, he was so proud of me. And so Roland, what we'll have to do is, like, maybe in the future have a Roland Alexander like radio show, just have a bunch of people, you know. But you know, just have a bunch of people come talk about him. But that's one of the reasons we decided to do the Battle Royal, because Roland represented California wrestling. And so we came up, me and Joseph, we were, like, talking about it, and then Roland passed away, and we had a show coming up 2 years ago. You know, and we're like, well, you know what? It's going to be our first ever California Cup Battle Royal, where all these different companies represent, they bring people, some wrestlers from different companies represent their company. And I was like, you know what? Roland represented California more than anybody. Let's honor it in front of, you know, for him. So, and that's where that came from. And then of course, this past year, December, you came back to Vendetta Pro with a vengeance, you know, you won the California Cup Battle Royal, which must have been a pretty good honor, you know, in honor of Roland, you know. So.
Well, I can't tell you, you know, it's like you said, I can't tell you what an honor it was to win that cup, you know, for Roland, because he was the one who brought me up from the ground up, you know, and I lived with Roland for,
exactly,
you know, over a year, and just, you know, being able to pick his brain and being able to just, you know, go to him for advice and just, you know, just knowing him as a friend was awesome, you know. And, you know, Roland and me went back a long way. We had a lot of history together. And, you know, I had that moment when I won the APW title, when I got signed originally to the WWE, and I just saw tears going down his face. And
I remember that.
He was saying, you know, and we butted heads a lot too, Billy, you know, at the beginning of my training, because I wasn't the easiest student to train. I know, you know, you say I'm humble and everything, but there were times where I lost my temper, and, you know, Roland stuck with me the whole way, and that's what he said to me when I got signed. He's like, you know, whatever happens, you know, beyond this, I just want to let you know, I'm proud of you, and you passed up my expectations in every way, so just, you know, take that with you wherever you go. And, you know, it's like you said, those words stick to me too, Billy. And, again, it was just an honor and a privilege to win that cup in front of everybody at Vendetta Pro, you know, for Roland Alexander.
Oh, for sure, brother, for sure. And, that, you know, we're honored, obviously, to have you back in Vendetta Pro. And you know, unfortunately, our radio is only 45 minutes long. So, you know, if we have to keep going –
I guess
next week or a week after, we'll keep going. But like, I want to change subjects for a second. I don't know if you remember this, but we have a little thing in Vendetta Pro, Joseph, where we were talking about, it was our first time back last week with Brian Kendrick, and I knew you were in the ring with Brian Kendrick, and,
We had a thing called the what is your okay? You could say it, or if you have your favorite ribs that you've seen pulled on you, or you pulled on somebody else of all time. I specifically remember one. Do you remember this with me and you in a hotel room with fire and your shorts? Do you remember that?
Oh, Jesus. That has to be up there. Yeah.
Because I was trying to tell the story the other day, and I can't remember everything. What happened?
Well,
I know you had a brand new pair of shorts.
I had a brand new pair of shorts. And what happened, Joseph, is that, you know, I made the mistake of falling asleep in the room while everybody else was hanging out. And so Billy takes a lighter and lights my pants on fire while I'm sleeping on the bed. And I must have jumped 5 feet, you know, above that, you know, hotel room and started losing my cool, losing my shit because freaking he burned a hole right through my pants. And, you know, I was flipping out saying, you know, these brand new pants, but that was definitely one of my favorites. But I have to say my favorite rib that got pulled on me was by wrestling personified Rick Luxury. Rick used to have a ring at his house, you know, and I'm sure he still does, but it's not up right now. And we used to train together, you know, for a while. And one time, you know, this was back when that Rob Zombie Halloween was coming out, the second one, god awful movie. And I say, hey, I'm going to go shower real quick, you know, and then we'll go see the movie. And I come down, and my car's gone. And I was like, "What? Where the hell is my car?" And Rick just runs back into his house and says, "Baby, call the cops. Jody's car just got stolen." And, you know, his wife Jen starts flipping out, and everyone starts flipping out. Like, oh, shit, you know, I'm going to have to call the cops. This is freaking ridiculous. And the next door neighbors are saying, yeah, man, I've seen him. You know, he freaking pulled off, you know, just now. And so right when I'm dialing 911, Rick throws me my keys and said, oh, sorry, brother, your car's up on the hill. So he had gotten the next door neighbors to get in on the rib, too. But I was just so happy to have my car back that I wasn't even, you know, mad at him. But that had to be probably my favorite rib that ever got pulled on me.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's we call this rib for our pleasure. That's what we call this little segment. And I, you know, a lot of people have this really cool ribs. I'll tell one real quick just because I've told it before, but it's one of my favorite ribs. It didn't happen on me, but it's one of our Bo Cooper and me have a good friend named Bobby Bradley. He used to team up with Rob Van Dam. I'm trying to make it quick because I know a couple minutes we're going to go off and then we're going to bonus time. But, like, this is the best rib, and I tell everybody's story because it's so hilarious. He, Bobby Bradley, you know, he used to team up with Rob Van Dam. He's been wrestling 25 years or 20 years. And his wrestling boots came up missing at one of the wrestling shows. I think it was during the summer of that year. And sure enough, Christmas time comes around, and he's unwrapping a Christmas gift, and somebody actually wrapped his boots up and gave them to him for Christmas. So they, I think it was the Haystacks brothers, you know, from California, but they actually held all year, or, you know, for almost 6 months, they held his boots until Christmas and gave them to him for Christmas gift. So I thought that, I heard that story, I thought that was one of the best stories I've ever heard, actually.
We're going to be going into bonus time. If you're listening online, call in real quick, area code 646-929-2066, and you can hear the rest of the show. You can hear bonus time. Otherwise, we will be broadcasting this later on tonight. The replay will be here on Block Talk Radio. We will also be posting it at VendettaProWrestling.com, so you'll be able to listen to bonus time and the rest of our conversation. So sorry to interrupt you guys, but just for the fans that are listening online, we got about less than a minute.
For sure. Yeah, and so, Jody, I'll try to touch bases with this right now, but, you know, we'll go into bonus time and talk about it. But, like, today it was just announced, I think it was today just or last night, it was just announced you are part of the prestigious third annual King of Indies tournament, which obviously was started by Roland in 2000. And
yeah.
You're one of 16 guys, and, you know, all 16, and I use that word very, very loosely, are amazing. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well,
So
I gotta tell you, when I first got called to do that, you know, I almost jumped out of my boots because, you know, like you said, you couldn't have said it any better. King of Indies is prestigious, you know, and just to get an opportunity to be a part of that is breathtaking. And I'm just excited to see who I'm going to be able to mix it up with there. And, you know,
actually, have you heard who you're wrestling in the first round yet?
I'll be honest. No, I haven't.
Okay. Cool. It just got announced today. So I'm going to give you the first breaking news of King of Indies. The first match was announced already, which is B-Boy versus Brian Cage. So that should be amazing.
That should be an awesome
first
one.
Match. Second match was announced today. It was Jody Kristofferson versus Willie Mack.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. What's your thoughts on that?
Wow. This is going to be
awesome. That's going to be tough.
Willie Mack is one of the guys I respect the most on the independent scene. You know, I mean, I saw him when he had a tryout at the WWE. And, you know, this guy can go. You know, and he's done a lot of stuff I've never even seen before in the ring. So, I mean, he does a little more, you know, flair than I do. I mean, he's a full-on athlete. I'll just punch you in the stomach till you pass out. So it should be an interesting match.
For sure.
Match. Definitely.
So, yeah,
you know,
that's been announced today. So.
Definitely looking forward to mixing it up with Willie Mack. This is definitely going to be full-out war.
And I'm supposed to we actually are running that Friday night, so some of us won't be able to make it that Friday night, but I think we're going to try to make it up this Saturday. But, like, hopefully you're on through the next round and we get to see you Saturday. But, like, was going to tell you, just to change subject a little bit, not everybody knows this, and I'll be honest, in my personal opinion, and just because I'm able to have an opinion, because it's our radio show. My honest opinion, and maybe you can help us understand, maybe you could tell us why they decided to do this, why they didn't. And I heard a couple reasons, but I might as well hear it from the horse's mouth, or should I say the war pig's mouth. A lot of people don't know that you are the son of Chris Kristofferson, and you know me very, very well, that I was I used to be a vampire wrestler back in the day, so I actually portrayed my character around the Lost Boys and Blade. And so, of course, your dad, growing up, before I even knew you, Jody, was one of my favorite actors. And then, of course, I'm all into the Johnny Cash and Chris Kristofferson and, you know, all the legends. I know little stories about you and Cash, but you know what I mean. But yeah, you guys, the Highwaymen. And so my question to you is, knowing that you have such a, you know, obviously such a famous dad, and obviously, that's hard to live in those footsteps. I'm sure that's very hard to, you know, to sit there and, you know, to live up to that hype. So my question with the WWE stuff is, why? I know they want to own your name, but why would they not use the Kristofferson name, considering that, you know, you have name value just in the name alone?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, I'm actually happy that they decided to change my name, because I wouldn't have it any other way, you know, because I'd rather earn my keep. And that's the main reason they gave me, is that they said, we want you to earn it. You know,
cool.
I mean, it just looks back to, you know, when Nick Hogan was trying to get into the WWE, you know, I mean, he had the wrong attitude, in my opinion. He said, you know, my dad's Hulk Hogan, I should automatically have a spot. Vince told him right off the bat, I don't care who your daddy is, you're going to have to work your ass off to be in this business.
Exactly.
And that's what you got to do, you know? And even though I got let go, I'm happy to have worked the 2 years I did with the WWE, because it proved, you know, that I was one of the boys. And I was one of the people who was willing to go through it.
Well,
and
plus
I'm still
on their radar still. Yeah, you're still under their radar, you know, and then... And obviously, you didn't leave on bad terms. So the good news is, you're still they watch you. They see what's going on with you. And Kristofferson name, obviously. Now, I could go ahead and take a little credit. I was there with you from day one, and you know this. And when we first ran Vendetta Pro, if you remember this, you came up to me and asked me, "Look, Billy, I'd like to earn my name."
without using my dad's last name. And I said, you know, Jody, I think you should be using your dad's last name. However, if you want to start out using Jody Ray, do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. And so the first show we had on Vendetta Pro, you were actually known. We have it under results as Jody Schlafman, but you were actually Jody Ray because I wanted to give you your own, you know, get
and
your
I
own character,
that.
And, you know, yeah, and I remember all that stuff. Now, I heard, now again, I could be wrong, but I've heard this from a few people, that WWE just hates long last names. And if you think about it,
well,
a lot of people that have lost long last names, they don't have them no more, you know.
Yeah. Well, that could be true. You know, you never know. Maybe they bitch about putting it up on the Titantron or whatever, you know. But WWE is a machine, you know. And if something doesn't work, they're not gonna do it. And you could think of a million reasons for why they do what they do, and still not figure out what's going on. So
it'll change in seconds, you know.
Exactly.
Hey, Joseph, you have any questions? Because we have about 10 minutes, and so we wanted to, if you have any questions, Joseph, and I have a couple more, but, you know.
Well, I was going to mention that about the King of Indies. You know, we talked about WWN earlier and you working with them and kind of us working with them as part of the Dragon Gate USA thing. They're going to be actually, the King of Indies tournament is going to be part of the WWN experience. Taking place that weekend, and we'll probably be giving out some more information about King of Indies coming up here. We are running a show the first night, but we can tell you that we have both the Vendetta Pro Wrestling Triforce Champion Jekylls and Vendetta Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion Little Cholo, both of them part of the King of Indies tournament. So between them, we got. You know, we got Jody. A lot of people that fans of Vendetta Pro are familiar with that are going to be part of this tournament. So you know, we got a lot of people to root on.
Well, appreciate that. You know, and I know that there's a lot of people in my corner. You know, and there's a lot of competition in the King of Indies that are going to have to step to. I mean, getting Willie Mack right off the bat is just going to be a test in itself. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but at the same time, I hope, you know, his dreams get shut down and mine, you know, keep going. Because, you know, you're not having me kicked out in the first round. It's just not happening for the Warfare. So,
you have to do whatever it takes. You have to be confident. That's the number one rule. You know, you can't – you doubt yourself, then that's – strike one against you, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
When that, Western State title tournament, I mean, you drew, former WWE superstar, former Vendetta Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, Chris Masters. And, you know, you got him right off the bat and, was able to, pick up a win over him. So, I mean, you're not just some guy out there. I mean, you're a battle-tested guy yourself.
No, I'm not. Like, I want that to be known right now. You know, stepping in the ring with me is not a walk in the park. Like, I'm going to knock your ass around. You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people thought when I went in there that I was going to lose Chris Masters. And lo and behold, it was my hand that was getting raised at the end of the night. But then, again, you know, like, things don't work out the way you thought they would. I'm sure people thought that I was going to beat Brian Kendrick after I beat Chris Masters. And then, lo and behold, Brian Kendrick picked up the win on me. So, it could go.
You just never
way.
Know what's going to happen. You never know.
Yep.
It's unexpected pro wrestling, you know. I mean, Jody, I've watched you grow over the years, you know. And, of course, you mentioned a lot of wrestling companies. And Joseph's all about plugging all the California companies, you know, like – PCW, SPW, Reno Factory, Bushido. Actually, Bushido is going to be working with us at Cauliflower Alley Club. This is going to be their first year, and, you know, Bobby Hart and, you know, a few of his guys. And then hopefully we can get you a Cauliflower Alley Club. It's going to be amazing. DDT is getting an award. Jake Roberts and Dusty Rhodes are both giving them the award this year. Hope you can come out there for that.
I'm definitely going to be out there. I hope to be
Demolition.
Part of it, too.
awesome. Demolition's getting the first tag team award. I mean, we have Gail Kim, Victoria, which is I forgot her name in TNA, but Victoria. I mean, Beth Phoenix. I mean, all these people are getting awards. Bruiser Brody's getting an award. I mean, it's the list of Sin Bodhi's getting an award. You know, and I'll take the time out because, you know, believe it or not, I mean, I do respect the people that came before me, and I will take the time out, and you know the history I have, Jody, so I will take the time right now to go ahead and congratulate Rikishi on becoming being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame because, quite frankly, I mean, he definitely deserves it, and I've seen you in the video of celebrating his Hall of Fame nomination, and or not nomination, but induction, and, say what you will, but Rikishi's done it and been there and done that. Same with Gangrel. Obviously, yeah, that's, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for Gangrel.
Of course.
Cool.
I mean,
like,
that's why I was there, you know. I mean, that's why I still go around there at their domain because I'm happy to train with them and happy to work for them. You know, I mean, I'm still an independent contractor. I'll work for whoever. But I always got to give respect where it's due. You know, Kishi is a guy who busts his ass, you know, every second of the day when he was in the ring. And just the things he's done for guys like me and guys like Alexander Rusev, you know, Miro. And it was just an honor to be there with him that night. And, you know, his eyes were tearing up. Like I could, he said, you know, this was a long time coming. He had no idea if it was ever going to come or not. And just to see his reaction that night when they said he was going to be in the Hall of Fame was, you know, it was definitely a good experience.
Yeah, no, totally. Pretty, and like I said, you know, if I'm congratulating him, you know that, you know, I respect him no matter what happened or whatever in the past, you know?
Yeah,
and
I know
so,
you guys have duped it out a couple times over Twitter. Or I know that. I know I've been involved in that too, unfortunately.
Yeah, no worries. But, you know, it's past and not a big deal. But, you know, the bottom line is this, Jody. Like, we're all professional wrestlers. We're still paying our dues. We're having a good time. And, you know, when we stop having a good time, it's probably time to hang up the boots, you know. And so it's like, you know, this is an experience. Not everybody knows how to be a professional wrestler. A lot of people act like professional wrestlers. But then bottom line is they're not, you know, there's a lot it takes to become a professional wrestler. And just because you're in the ring, you know, wrestling doesn't mean you're a professional wrestler, you know what I mean? In and outside the ring, you know, the way you act, everything, you know. And we only have about 3 minutes left, Jody. I mean,
not even that. We're actually probably under a minute at this point. So,
oh shoot, okay. Well, my clock's wrong. But hey, real quick, Jody, can you tell everybody how we can reach you? Facebook, Twitter, anything like that?
Oh yeah, of course. You know, like on Twitter, anybody who wants to get a hold of me can find me at Jody Warpig. You know, and on Facebook is this Jody Christopherson. Same thing.
Awesome.
So, frickin',
and you can,
thank you for having me.
For sure. And you can find us on, you know, VendettaProWrestling.com, Twitter, Vendetta Pro. Joseph is the guy that runs everything. Thanks for everything. Next week's guest, Jody, you'll know him personally. Next week's guest is former NXT star Judas Draven, known as Austin Draven to us.
Yep.
And he's back in L.A. He was trained by the Ballard Brothers. You know how great the Ballard Brothers are.
Yep.
So look forward to having that, having him as a guest next week. We're actually working on getting Rick Bassman, Jesse Hernandez. We have the guests are coming out of the woodworks now that we're, you know, took over to Vendetta Pro Radio. And thank you for coming on our radio show. And March 7th, we'll see you at Vendetta Pro, Shamrock Slam, and with our debut in Torrance. We're not sure who you're wrestling yet, but obviously, it doesn't matter. You're going to bring that strong style that you've.
Hey, either way, I'll be there.
Yep. Exactly.
Bet your
ass. Well, thanks, Jody. And Joseph, you have
anything?
Thanks,
Billy. Thanks, Joseph.